The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Don't look now, Stephen A., but your Warriors might be in a little slump. They have now lost six of their last eight games after losing to the Timberwolves last night. Steph Curry did put up 34, but was only 5 of 16 from beyond the arc. At one point in the season, he led MVP odds, but now he's got the sixth best. Mad Dog, I'd like to start with you, sir.
Yeah.
Does Steph Curry have more to prove this season?
He does. Now, I know Steve probably... Can I talk?
It's a little crazy,
I know Stevie probably wants to put him top 10 all the time. I'll buy that. He's not a top 10 player, but that's what Steve wants. He's a great Hall of Fame player, and he's transformational with the way he plays. But let's look at Curry in the big game. They won three championships. He wouldn't have won two of them if it wasn't for Durant. Durant won two of those titles for him. The one championship they won, he wasn't the MVP. Iguodala was. And if Kyrie and Love didn't get hurt, they were down 2-1. They wouldn't have beat David Blatt and LeBron with Antoine Jameson as a power forward. They wouldn't have won that series. The year that they won the 73 and they blew the 3-1 lead to LeBron's Cavs with that wonderful championship, who outplayed Curry in that series? Kyrie did. No question about it. And listen, he's fun to watch. He's a wonderful shooter, unbelievable ball handler. We all know he's an all-time great. But immortality is what I'm talking about. And right now, in my eyes, as a sports fan, when you tell me 30 years from now, well, is Stephon Curry an immortal? I look at championships, the big spots, I'm saying no. My eyes. Go ahead.
Then I got some glasses for you. You understand what I'm saying? We need to check those eyes. We need to check those. That's right. Get your glasses. I don't even understand what the hell you just said. Let me tell you something, doggy. I just don't know about you today. This is unbelievable. The greatest shooter God ever created is playing right now. Right. Everyone on the planet concedes he's the greatest shooter God has ever created. And you're telling me, that not a mortal status right there? He's a three-time champion. He's been to five straight NBA finals. Three-time champion. He was on the court. And by the way, while you're treating him like he's some bench warmer that just happened to ride the coattails of a Kevin Durant and others, I remind you, I got some numbers right here. 7 years, this is just playoffs, because we know he's done the regular season. This is just playoffs. Career averages of 26 and a half points. 26, 6, and 5, okay?
Yeah, we know that.
In the finals, 26 and a half points, 6 and 5, all right? Yes, on 38.5% shooting from three-point range. I'm just so appalled. We understand that the numbers dip from what we're accustomed to seeing him do in a regular season. I'll concede that. I'm not denying that. But we're acting like the dude is some bench warmer or something. Or he's just on the court.
I didn't say that.
Listen, when you bring up Kyrie, I will remind you, we might have issues with Kyrie's decision-making and some of the aloofness or whatever the case may be. But Kyrie Irving is one of the greatest talents we've seen in the game of basketball. This brother and the ball handling skills. If it wasn't for his ball handling skills, we'd also be calling Steph Curry one of the great, if not the best, ball handler in basketball.
Let me ask you this.
So all of this, we just gonna sit up there and say, well, you know what? No, not an immortal. When you've got that three-time champion and is known as the greatest shooter in the history of basketball, that's immortal status to me.
Do you think Magic Johnson, with a 3-1 lead, two of which at home, think he would have lost that series?
No.
No way.
You think Larry Bird,
up 3-1, NBA final, where immortality, that's what it's about, with a 3-1 lead. You think he loses that series? Not a chance.
Let me tell you this. Time out. If you recall, he was on the court, but he wasn't 100% healthy for that series against LeBron and them when they came back from 3-1. Let's also point this out, too. Don't get me started with, you know how much I love Adam Silver, the commissioner of the National Basketball Association. But that damn stimulus package that they gave the Cleveland Cavaliers, you sit up there and you eject Draymond Green
from game five.
The same game five. Listen, remember this. And this is how I know this. Because I had picked the Warriors to win that series in five. Here's exactly what happened. The game that LeBron threw Draymond Green to the floor and Draymond Green kicked his leg up, the Warriors won that game in Cleveland to go up 3-1. And we're going back to close the deal at the Oracle. They suspend Draymond Green for game five. Andrew Bogut and Andre Iguodala, who was an elite defender, and obviously Bogut was a front court defender, they both get hurt in the game five. Draymond is ejected from, and as a result, they were never the same. And Andre Iguodala didn't even come back, really, all right, because he's hobbling around. And after that is how LeBron and them won that game seven. Let's not forget that even though Andre Iguodala played the game seven, they were never the same. I'm just saying to you, all of those things in it, because there's a lot of mitigating circumstances that come with why Steph Curry lost, but there's no doubt doubting his greatness. None.
Do we avoid what? Game six and game seven don't count? And how in the world do you sit there and say, with his ridiculous behavior, Green, who stepped on Steven Adams in the groin in the previous series and didn't get suspended, and now you're going to sit there and got wrongfully suspended? Are you kidding me? That's where you're going today.
I'm saying to you, excuse me, there were circumstances that led to LeBron James having that easier path to ultimately win, capturing a game seven and then winning it. You're ignoring all of those things. You got your twist on it. I got mine. They should have been done in five, and they would have if Draymond Green hadn't gotten suspended for that game, and they probably suspended him that game because, listen, okay, we all know we want to see LeBron in the finals. They were about to get smoked in five games, okay? I'll never forget that, but getting back to Steph Curry, I'm going to challenge you again. Immortal status. The greatest shooter in the history of basketball.
I agree. We know
who's
that.
Who's a two-time league MVP and a three-time champion.
Well, let me ask you.
And you're telling me he has something to prove?
Where are you putting him all the time, then? You're going to make him a top 10 player? He's not a top 10 player. Where are you putting him all the time?
You know what? I got to think about that. I think he could be.
No, he's not.
I think he could be.
Are you kidding me?
Yes, I do.
Top 10?
Yes, I do.
Let's go through
the greatest shooter.
Let's go through
in the history. You really want to do this? You want to do this?
Let's go through.
Let's go. Let's go. We got right. MJ. We got LeBron.
No. Okay. I'll do the asking.
Okay.
You got a series to win for your life. Bird or Curry? Don't even go there.
He got me. I can't go against a healthy Larry Bird.
Magic or Curry? Magic or Curry?
Well, it depends on what I need.
Game on the line. Series on the line.
Depends. Listen, Magic is the greatest point guard in the history
of
basketball.
There you go.
Steph Curry's the greatest shooter.
We're not talking about shooting.
What do I need?
I'm talking about winning championships. Game, series on the line. You got a chance. Your life's on the line.
Okay.
You want Magic? You want Curry? Don't tell me Curry. You know you're wrong.
I'm going with Magic.
You want Kareem or you want Curry?
Kareem, of course.
You want Russell or you want Curry? Oh, come on. He won 11 championships in 13 years.
That's not the point. Wait a minute. He's never averaged more than 18 and a half points in his career. He was a big-time rebounder. Hold on.
Listen.
He's the ultimate champion. See, he's trying to get me to be disrespectful to the ultimate champion. I'm not going to do that. What I'm saying to you is Bill Russell never averaged more than 18 and a half points per game in his career, but he was an elite rebounder and defender. My argument to you is, if you give me all the offense in the world, why am I worried about defense? I'm not worried about defense. So guess what? I might not do that. If you're going to ask the question that way, what do I need? That's why I'm asking you.
One game?
Hey, what did I just say? What do I need?
I can't hear you. Gosh darn it, they took my headset off. I can't hear you. I can't hear you.
You can hear me. You can hear me loud and clear.
It dropped. I am tired of this nonsense. You can't put him ahead of Bird. You can't put him ahead of Magic. You can't put him ahead of the three centers.
You
can't put
him ahead of
Jordan. You cannot put him ahead of LeBron. You can't put him ahead of Tim Duncan under any circumstances. You can't put him ahead of Tim Duncan. And you can't put him ahead of Kobe. That's 8-9 guys right there. You want me to go to Nowitzki? You want me to go to Wiz?
Yes.
You want me to continue? How
don't
many
go
to
the
you want me to go
enough.
To here?
Don't go to the Whiskey enough. But he does have me on those veterans.
Okay, but how am I supposed to wrap him? He has no earpiece. Producers, can you tell him we're going
to break? I got to get my headset back on.
Yes, we'll take a timeout. That was incredible,
he
guys.
He kind of got me there.
That
he kind of got me with
incredible.
The
yeah, He kind of got you? Wow.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
All right, let's get to the latest on Major League Baseball. Two words you don't want to hear. No deal. The first two MLB regular season series have been canceled after players reject the league's proposal. Commissioner Rob Manfred announced the sport will lose regular season games over labor dispute for the first time in 27 years, and talks have collapsed in the hours before management's deadline. Christopher?
Yeah.
Starting with you.
All right.
Is MLB risking becoming completely irrelevant?
Oh, absolutely. And you're talking to a guy who's been following baseball since the mid-60s, who loves it. Stephen A. knows that. I love the game, and I'll go back. You know, it's not like I'm going to forget about it August night. I'm going to watch baseball. I'm going to go to games. I'll probably go to the All-Star game. I'll go to the World Series. You can't go by me because I don't count. But this lockout is going to last a long time. I don't think either side, especially the players in my eyes, realize baseball players don't think where they stand in the national sports landscape. I think they're risking, as you said, nobody's going to care about them when they come back on June 1st. Think about it for a second. If baseball comes back on June 1st, you got the NBA postseason and you got the finals. Stevie would be all over that. The six people out there at the hockey, that's always fun, the Stanley Cup final. You got golf, you got tennis, you got warm weather, you got outside, and now baseball. Hey, here we are. We're all back. Let's go. 2 months away from training camps in the National Football League. Are you kidding me? That's not going to make it. And remember, opening day is a special day for a lot of us in the sport. It's springtime. It's hope springs eternal. It's warm weather. It's bunting on the ballparks. It's the flyovers. It's 50,000. 162 games. You know, baseball at its best is like a book. Each chapter is like a new month. And you have to read the whole book to see the conclusion because baseball lasts forever. It's that kind of sport. You lose opening day, you're going to lose a lot of that. And it jump in on May 11th. Hey, we're here. People aren't going to pay attention. No, I will. Forget me. My kids aren't going to pay attention to it. I got big sports fans who are kids. They love the NBA. They love college basketball. They're not going to pay attention to it. Dad, where's baseball? Well, I don't know where it is, Tim. I'm Colin. I don't know. When they come back, Tim, I don't know. Maybe July 4th. I don't know. That is something that they do not realize how dangerous that is. And remember, this is not a scenario here. I heard Steve say before, college football, the NBA, and this is a situation where baseball is in trouble to begin with. Their TV ratings on the national level sometimes are very, very sloppy. You know, in the middle of August and September, the teams that are out of it, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, all these ball clubs, Miami, Arizona, there's a million of them, they don't pay attention. The World Series ratings aren't very good. There's no parity. Every year, there's only about 7 or 8 teams that can win it. This is a major, major problem. And remember, here's another thing. I shouldn't go too long here. I got to get Steve a chance. Here's another thing. The game itself is a disaster right now. There's too many strikeouts. The game lasts forever. You got a million guys coming in from the bullpen throwing 100 miles an hour. Nobody can hit the ball. The game's a game in the middle of June between Astros and White Sox. Takes 3 hours and 45 minutes to play. That's boring as all can be. There's not enough balls. There's too many things. They haven't even fixed the on-the-field issue. So baseball, and this, I hate to say it. Baseball right now is in, this is worse than 94 with the World Series. Baseball right now is in major, major trouble. What's the matter? Don't cry over there.
Relax. I'm just touched.
Why?
I mean, we finally agree. This is a very touching moment for me. I never thought that it would come to this, but I don't disagree with anything that doggy said. And then he got me the last debate. Enjoy that moment. It won't happen again. So enjoy that moment. Hold on to the moment of that last segment. It won't happen again. But in regards to this, doggy's absolutely right. Baseball's in major, major, major trouble. And this is the thing. Revenue's down. Ratings are down. Those national ratings he was talking about. Yeah. You have not ingratiated yourself with the younger demographic, with minorities in this country. You haven't done it. And I'm not saying baseball hasn't tried. You've got the RBI program, like reviving baseball in the inner cities that they've been doing for years. Guys like Mark Teixeira and others were big on that. Doggy, I know about that. But nevertheless, they never were quite successful in getting that number of black individuals in the sport of baseball higher than 7 or 8%. Mm-hmm. And then when you look at this situation right now transpiring, I hearken back to the cancellation of the World Series in 1994. I would remind everybody that they didn't really begin resurrecting itself until McGuire and Sosa were chasing Roger Maris's single-season home run record. Everybody keeps forgetting. They acting like that was 1995. No, it was 1998. That means 1995, 96, 97. You had people who were down on the sport. Some right. people say that contributed to the elevation of the National Football League when you're talking about America's national pastime, turning off an audience. So we've got that issue to go on. Then we went into the particulars starting off the show, Doggy, when we talked about how, excuse me, you talked about the owners and you talked about the players, and we looked at, and I'm looking at guys like a Mookie Betts making $22.5 million. He's the 32nd highest paid player. I'm looking at guys like Arenado and others that are getting paid exorbitant amount of dollars. I'm looking at DeGrom and Scherzer both getting paid over $35 million. Or in DeGrom's case, I think it's 33 to 35. Scherzer's at $43.3 million. Folks, the average folk out there didn't want to hear it back then. How you feeling now that people have been losing their jobs because of COVID and how it's ravaged our nation and the globe. So all of those things taken into consideration, to miss games now, crying with millionaires and billionaires fighting, that is a bad look. But I will tell you what could save it, okay. What could help, rather. Derek Jeter, baseball needs an ambassador. They need somebody to sell and market the sport, not just to the younger audience, but to sponsors and advertisers in a fashion that they'll get assistance in helping the sport ingratiate itself with a younger demographic, because the baseball audience is getting older and older and older. Those true avid followers like Doggy, you're not going anywhere. But the problem is you ain't getting younger, and their audience is not getting younger.
Let me get in here, because you made a lot of great points. And Mad Dog, I've asked Stephen A. this many times, and I'm glad we have you today. And I love the idea of Derek Jeter really as the ambassador. Christopher, how do they fix this? How do they make it relevant to the younger audience? Because we all know it's a great game. We all grew up with it. And it's a shame, even on this show, I hate that we don't talk about it the way that we could be. So what can they do?
Well, the first thing they have to do, Molly, is they have to fix the product on the field. The games are too long. There's too many relief pitchers. There's too many strikeouts. The shifts. Everybody hitting the ball out of the ballpark. The game is a slog sometimes to get through these games. And there's too many of them, 262 in this day and age. So that's number one. And they did not even go near those issues as far as this agreement is concerned that they didn't get. They didn't even have a scenario. How about a pitch clock? Pitchers taking 40 seconds to throw the ball to the plate. Guys stepping out of the box taking forever. I mean, that's not entertainment. This is the entertainment. That's why I'm out of here. It's entertainment.
Doggy, can I throw something at you?
This is entertainment. They're not entertaining enough.
Can I throw this at you, Doggy? Seriously, this is a question, but I believe they should do this. I love the fact of more teams in the playoffs.
I do, too.
But I'm an advocate of there being less regular season games. I think the number should be reduced from 160 to 162, to 140.
I agree.
To 140 or 142. I think if you subtract 20 games, 20 to 22 games during the regular season, but get an additional 12 to 14 games in the postseason, I think that works for the sport. What are your thoughts?
Because I agree.
Season should end Labor Day.
I agree. Here's the problem with that.
Right.
You play 140 games, that's 10 less gates for the owners. They're going to want to split that lost revenue. Are the players going to take less
money? Overcharge in the postseason. Overcharging the postseason.
But not every player plays in the postseason, so they're not going to get paid. So all of a sudden, the players want to get paid for 140 games instead of 162. Right. Are they going to take a haircut?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know they won't.
I know they won't. I do know they won't.
I propose an idea. Right. What maybe we should do next Wednesday when we have Mad Dog with us? You know how you do the Stephen's A list?
Yeah.
Let's have Mad Dog do a list on how to fix baseball. I think he can go through and do one. Probably sell it better than you.
I think that Mad Dog's going to be entirely too emotional. You understand? And he's going to throw stuff up there and want us to defer to the days of Kennesaw Mountain Landis and all
Joe
of that
DiMaggio,
kind of stuff.
Baby.
And people are going to be like, what the hell is he talking about? That's the problem. I don't trust Mad Dog with an A-list. I don't trust
Okay, enough with both of you. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Okay, I find this very interesting. So the world still watches and waits to find out what the future holds for Aaron Rodgers, right? Will he stay in Green Bay? Will he leave? Will he retire? All possibilities for the back-to-back MVP. Meanwhile, there are many teams in the NFL who would definitely love to have that bad man behind center in their town. Here's Packers GM Brian Gutekunst.
Not at all. Not at all. Not a single person.
Okay, this is the part, Mad Dog, that I find very interesting. No calls, no offers for Aaron Rodgers? According to the GM?
Yeah, he's not going to tell us that. You know, the last thing I need, I know Stephen A. did it last week. He's 1,000% right. Do I need a 43-minute interview telling me nothing on my channel with my buddy McAfee? I mean, my God, please.
You don't like those weekly visits, Mad Dog?
It is on your channel.
They're like cathartic therapy sessions that we all clamor and tune in for, and they say nothing.
Hey, Dougie, it is your channel. I mean, come on now. You could be a bit more enthusiastic than that.
McAfee's my man. But 43 minutes and he says nothing. He's such a div. How about breaking down 3rd and 11 when Lazard was wide open at midfield in the Niner game? And if he would have completed the pass, they would have won San Francisco and been in a championship game. Enough for Rodgers. I think he's going to stay in Green Bay. I think Devontae Adams is going to stay in Green Bay. They're going to franchise tag him if they can't sign him. You're talking about team now with the Packers. They've sort of reorganized their salary cap. They've helped themselves a little bit. They're still way over, but they've worked with their salary cap. If you trade them to Denver, they're going to have to give up a million pieces, including draft picks and wide receivers. Jordan Love isn't the answer. It's Lombardi. Adams will stay. Franchise tag him if they doesn't sign a long-term contract. I think this is a bunch of nonsense. He's not retiring. I think at the end of the day, he's still going to be a Green Bay Packer.
Okay, so you think he should remain with the Packers? Stephen
Absolutely.
A, where are you?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Why?
Well, because it's the Green Bay Packers, Steve. And I tell you, here's why.
Historian?
You want to leave off those two losses? with tampering a championship game and how awful he played against San Francisco in that city, in that stadium, with that history. You want to bail? No way. I'm not leaving off that. I got to make up for those two defeats. And going to Denver, where they've won with Elway and won with Peyton Manning, that's not going to do it. He's got to win another one in Green Bay. If I'm Rodgers, I don't sit there and even quibble about it. I'm staying. Adam stays. Let's go after it again.
I don't necessarily disagree with your overall point, but I think that he needs to get another Super Bowl, not that he needs to do it in Green Bay. If he went somewhere else and got another Super Bowl, I don't think we're going to hold against him the fact that he wasn't wearing green and yellow and playing at Lambeau Field. I don't believe that. That's number one. Number two, I will tell you, where we agree, but for different reasons. When you, first of all, Pat McAfee is doing a hell of a job on your channel, by the way. Let's give Pat McAfee some love. I mean, we love Pat McAfee. I know I do, okay? Give him some love. Number two, when I think about Aaron Rodgers, here's what bothers me, because I've been accused of having a man crush on this because he's a bad man. He's something special. And I've always loved Aaron Rodgers, and I think as a talent, I think he's the greatest talent that we've seen at the quarterback position ever. Okay, that's how much, that's a talent, all right?
I agree.
But you got to close the deal. And where I have a problem with him right now is that considering the moves that Green Bay is making and how it seems to coincide with the kind of things that Aaron Rodgers would want in order to stay in Green Bay, it's really bothersome to me that you're doing the 43-minute interviews. You're sitting around pondering, wondering what you want to do before you make a decision. I think those things are reserved for champions, meaning recent champions. Like, he is a champion, but that was 12 years ago. Not only have you not won a championship since, you haven't been to the Super Bowl since. And so when those kind of things happen, and Tom Brady is a year removed from literally departing from New England, coming to Tampa, and in his first year delivering a championship, when Patrick Mahomes is just removed from being in four straight AFC championship games and back-to-back Super Bowls, okay? When those kind of things are happening, and we're seeing the elevation of young Lions like the Josh Allens of the world and others coming up, and Joe Burrows and Justin Herbert and all of these guys, it's almost like Aaron Rodgers wants to sit around just to remind us how big time he is. And my point is, well, when we remember that, because nobody remembers that more than me about him, I also have to remember how you couldn't score 14 points against San Francisco in a divisional playoff game on your very own Lambeau Field with inclement weather, and you had a 2 weeks rest because San Francisco had beat up on Dallas the week before while you were home chilling out. I don't understand why we're sitting around here waiting for Aaron Rodgers to make his decision as if it's going to shift the balance of power in the NFL for years to come. That's a bit ridiculous.
Wake me up when it's over. I agree with you on that one. Now, and I agree the second championship, wherever he gets it, for him personally, puts him on a higher level. But there is a difference between going to Denver and winning there and staying in Green Bay. Green Bay now. That's one of the historic franchises and winning there. To me, it's a little different. He almost owes that city and that fan base a little redemption for the last two series.
No, for this year, when he lost to Tom Brady and Matt LaFleur took the ball out of his hands.
How does he owe Green Bay anything?
Well, I mean, did he play well in the last two games at home?
Well, I thought that he played well against Tampa.
Look at the body of work. He's been there for years.
Well, body of work is great. I understand that. If you're a Packer fan and he bails to go to Denver off that loss to San Francisco where he stunk, you're going to be happy with him?
Before he lost to San Francisco, did you believe he owed Green Bay anything?
I owed him another championship.
As many years as they cost him that, you got to be crazy.
Let me get the last word here. When he needed help, when he needed offensive weapons, they drafted a quarterback.
Offensive weapons. Did he play well against Molly?
Yes.
Yes. Did he play well against Tampa? He did not.
No, absolutely not.
He didn't play awful, though. He was right in the game. Came back in the second half.
Stevie just gave us the rundown against San Francisco. He was awful. Those are, is it about weapons or is it about his performance?
No. We know that San Francisco has his number.
That's true.
Yeah, or at least Shanahan does. All right, Stevie, we got to go to break.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Meanwhile, some history. We've referenced some NBA legends throughout the show. Well, 60 years ago today, the great Wilt Chamberlain scored an NBA record 100 points for the Philadelphia Warriors. He also grabbed 25 rebounds in a win over the New York Knicks in Hershey, Pennsylvania, while playing the entire 48 minutes of the game. Present day now, another day, another loss for LeBron James and the Lakers, who have now lost 10 of their last 13. Not quite what the team envisioned in the offseason when they put together the elder statesman of LeBron's super team. LeBron, undoubtedly one of the greatest ever play, has been leading his team in scoring but not able to get the wins. Now, let's remember where Stephen A. ranks LeBron. That would be
number two overall, number two in the history of basketball.
Yeah, that's all I was going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, number two overall, number two in the history of basketball. Makes sense. I think most people do. Christopher, is LeBron the second best player ever?
Well, there's a couple things about it, and I understand at the end of the day, he will be on that second level. And, you know, listen, you got Kareem, you got Russell, you got Wilt, you got Magic, you got a lot of them. So I understand that. Long-term career, it's going to be second. But in the peak of his career, and this is my opinion now, peak of his career, I'll take Bird. If I got a series to win for my life, I got a year in his prime. When he won the three straight MVPs, this is in the early to mid-80s, I'm taking this guy right there. He was an assassin. He is a tremendous passer. One of the great shooters you ever saw in your life. Never missed free throws. Always had the right persona for the games against the Lakers. Totally outplayed Magic in the 84 final. Wasn't even close when Bird was phenomenal and Magic was awful when the Lakers lost in seven games. Here's a game for you that is fascinating. Remember that game in 84? In the 100-degree night in the Boston Garden on a Friday in game five.
Okay.
It was 100 degrees. They couldn't move. It was so hot. Bird, 15 of 20 from the floor. Didn't miss a free throw, 17 rebounds, 32 points, 17 boards. They ended up winning that series in seven games. Stephen A., I never saw Bird in a big series come up small. Never. Mm-hmm. Well, I saw LeBron do it.
Okay.
Because against Dallas, the year the Mavericks beat them with Nowitzki, LeBron was awful.
He was awful
in that series.
Okay.
Absolutely horrendous. Bad.
Okay. All right.
So I'm taking Bird.
Let me say this to you. That's awful, and you know it. Now, in the case of Larry Bird, here's where I'll throw you, because there's nothing to talk about with LeBron James as a shooter compared to Larry Bird. Larry Bird is a perimeter shooter. Larry Bird facing the basket. Larry Bird with his back to the basket. Larry Bird from the free throw line, a career 88% shooter from the free throw line when LeBron is hovering in the low 70s. There's nothing to talk about with about LeBron compared to Larry Bird as a shooter. And particularly earlier in his career, there's nothing to talk about LeBron compared to Larry Bird clutch-wise. But I would remind you, let's go through the list because I made sure to pull this stuff up. When we talk about Larry Bird, right? Three-time NBA All-Defensive second team. Never an all-defensive first team. Defensive part of basketball. LeBron James, 5 times. All-defensive NBA team, okay? That's number one. Number two, we look at the 9 times first, you know, all NBA, all first team and stuff like that. You know LeBron's got him beat there. NBA All-Star appearances, we know LeBron James got him beat there. NBA Finals MVP, we know LeBron's got him beat there. NBA titles overall, we know LeBron's got him beat there.
No, they're tied. Oh, was it? That's right. You're right. 4-3.
That's right. 4-3. That's right. I got this, dog.
I forgot.
Sit back, baby. It's all right. It's okay. It happens to the best of us. I would know. Here's the deal. At the end of the day, doggy, when you look at LeBron, at 6'9 being the specimen that he is, the reason why I give you there's no question about the shooting. And obviously that has something to do with clutch, because when you can make shots and when you can make free throws, that goes a long way. But the game is 48 minutes. And when I think about LeBron and all the things that he brings to the table and the all-around versatility of his game, the fact of the matter is LeBron is number two all time. Why do you think I have to – hold on. Why do you think I have to put him ahead of Kareem? Kareem is a 19-time All-Star. He's got everybody beat number-wise. He's the all-time leading scorer in NBA history. He's a 19-time All-Star. He's a 6-time champion. He's a 6-time league MVP. And I still have LeBron number two and then Kareem number three because of the versatility and all the all-around abilities that LeBron brings to the game, which Bird and Kareem and those guys did not have. LeBron is number two all-time behind Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
As usual, you missed two themes. The first one was The assassin.
He was.
Bird is
it.
An assassin.
I agree.
LeBron misses a little bit of that gene.
I didn't say that. I didn't deny that. Well,
you just said he was a shooter. You got to put that in there, too.
Well, that's what
you
I meant.
You didn't put that in there.
He's clutch. It said clutch. He didn't shoot it.
I
didn't use the word assassin.
Assassin is a good word. You know it is. You know what I mean there. Again, let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
At the peak of their career,
right,
in an NBA final,
right,
at their peak, and right, you got to take one of those players to help you win a championship.
Okay.
I'm talking 86 series, 86
well,
against the Rockets.
This is
I'm talking
you,
84 against the Lakers.
It's important you hear this answer. It's important
you
hear this answer.
Are you taking Bird or Jordan?
All right.
Bird
right,
or LeBron?
And you're going to be appalled by the answer I'm about to give you. I take Bird for the last 2 minutes. I take LeBron for the first 46.
Oh, no. That's not fair.
What is Bird?
Scott Webman? The last two minutes.
Hey, listen. Let me tell you why. Because I went to game 6 when LeBron was going up against Pierce, Garnett, and those boys at TD Bank Garden with the parquet floor.
He had
45 and 15. He was a monster, okay?
He just
annihilated them. The reason why I say the first 46 matters is because it might not come down to the last 2 minutes with LeBron on his game, because he'll destroy you beforehand. And that's the difference. You can't sit up there and just get your moment and ignore the game, doggy. I'm talking about the game, all right?
You're making it sound like Bird does nothing for 38, 40 minutes and he shows up off the bench to make a jump shot.
He ain't LeBron. He's not LeBron now. He's not LeBron. And he was clutch without question. And a champion.
Let me start here.
Okay.
In the prime of their career, he's a better player than Magic.
Bird was a better player than
prime.
Magic.
Prime.
Okay.
In that 81 to 87 period, he's a better player than Magic.
Listen. I'm not going to knock you for that because Bird was sensational. My flip side to this is that you're being very narrow-minded. You got to broaden. Here's the deal. Magic Johnson is the greatest point guard in the history of basketball.
He had a better career than Bird.
I'm not talking about that for a second. Stay with me. He's a floor general. So Magic Johnson, the leadership, the floor generalship, et cetera, et cetera. He was never the scorer and the shooter Larry Bird
was. We are up against it and we are out of time. To wrap up, let's make sure I have this right, Mad Dog. So it goes MJ, Larry, LeBron, correct?
That would be, I might put Kareem ahead of LeBron. That would be my list. Now, I understand it's controversial.
I
understand now they're going to kill me on the Twitter. How does Russo sit there and pay? You know what? I saw Bird play, so did he. I saw him play every big game in his life. I saw him play every big series in his life, and he never, ever disappointed me. And I'm not even a Celtic fan.
Right.
I saw LeBron play every big series in his life, and he's disappointed me.
But Mad Dog, so you're saying LeBron third or fourth, correct?
I'll put him third. Make him happy. Third.
Okay. Listen, listen.
He's trying to make the people
happy.
He
can be third if he wants to, but it better be because of Kareem and not Bird. He ain't coming behind Larry Bird.
He just told you for the last 10 minutes why.
Larry Bird,
right,
baby.
More first take.
No.
Quick take.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
NFL news into First Take. Our Diana Rossini tweeting this. The Arizona Cardinals have signed GM Steve Keim and head coach Cliff Kingsbury to contract extensions per sources. That's through the 2027 season. But I want to get to another GM, Christopher Russo. Bucks GM Jason Light wants to keep the light on for Tom Brady. Mad Dog, your thoughts on this?
I mean, you know, I could see Indianapolis thinking along those lines with Andrew Luck when he quit. Tom's 44 years of age. He's not coming back. Gronkowski's leaving. The team's a mess. Godwin, the receiver's out. I mean, enough already. Waiting for Tom Brady. Tom's deserved to retire. He's one of those guys who wants to think about the next season 2 weeks after the previous season is over. He's in Costa Rica right now. I mean, Bruce Arians, here's the deal. Blaine Gabbert and Kyle Trask. Go get him, baby. That's your starting quarterback for 2022.
Nice.
I mean, the idea that they're waiting for Brady, that's the dumbest thing in the world. He is not coming back. He has retired. It is over. Don't even hint it. He's finished. It's not. He's out. He's going to the Hall of Fame in 5 years. Enough of this Tom Brady nonsense. Well, you know what? You never know. Maybe we'll build our team. We'll keep our fingers crossed. We'll see what happens in August. Hey, if we have an injury, we can bring him back. Tom Brady is finito. He is not coming back to play for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Stephen A.
We are being pathetic, Stephen A.
I agree. He's not coming back. I totally agree with you, Doggy. But what's wrong with leaving the light on?
Oh,
I mean,
come
you
on.
What's wrong with leaving the light on? Listen, do you see good quarterbacks everywhere? I mean, they're hard to find. I mean, the fact of the matter
is... They have great options.
They don't have any great options right now. The point that I'm trying to make to you is that you don't sit around and do nothing. You go on with your life, but you go on with your life with the lights on. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with leaving a little light on for a dude that came there and delivered you a championship at age 43, got you to the playoffs down 27-3, and ties up the score at 27 apiece at age 44 before the defense let him down by letting Cooper Kupp get free. You know what I'm saying, downfield from you know who. So the bottom line is this. I look at it from Matt Stafford. I look at it from this perspective. In the end, when you're that great and Tom Brady comes out and says, you know what, I'm not ruling out anything. I'm just not there right now, but I've made my decision. But who knows? What's wrong with Tampa Bay saying, who knows? Because any quarterback they put in there, they'll be willing to bench if Tom Brady said, yo, I'll come back.
No, Mad Dog's right, Stephen A. It's very pathetic on our part.
It might be pathetic on Tampa's part. It ain't pathetic on our part because we all believe he's gone. But the point is, if you're Tampa, you had nothing until his brother came. And when he arrived, you won a Super Bowl.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah, sure. Of course.
How does Kingsbury get a contract extension to 2027? What's he got,
right.
Five rings?
That's right.
Cliff Kingsbury? Do you see his clock management? He gets a contract extension? Oh, my God.
Did I not tell you
that? I've had enough. You've heard me enough today.
Yet, but you were complaining about Kyler Murray, and this man gets a contract extension. So he could get his money, but Kyler Murray can't get his money. You see what I'm talking about? You see what I'm talking about?
Larry Bird.
No, not ahead of LeBron. Oh, stop it. Oh,
I'm not even going to talk.
What is that?
I just want to sit here in silence.
What is that?
And I just want to relish in the moment.
I'll see you next Wednesday. Oh my.